It's not to say that you're all going to be missionaries, but you all have these opportunities to share the truth of the gospel. And we can accomplish this burden if we work together of taking this gospel out to every opportunity that we have. But we have to be united. We have to be united together. And sometimes that means we have to overlook each other. We have to be as a family and in love and concern for each other. We have to put our brothers and sisters absolutely first in all things. And sometimes that's going to be difficult because our brothers and sisters are not going to think and do things exactly like us. And there's where we come short. There's where we fall short is we can get along real fine and we can be right united until we have a disagreement. I'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. If we have humility within our body, if we want to be united, we have to stand fast in one spirit. If we are a group of individuals in the church, we are not of one spirit. What spirit does he call us to be? The spirit of charity, of love, of peace, of joy, of humbleness, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, those fruits of the Spirit. Are we a one spirit? Are we always gentle and kind to our brothers and sisters? He tells us to be of one mind, united in a single purpose to accomplish the will of God in these last days. And he says, strive together. I looked that up just to check to make sure if it really meant what I thought it meant. Strive together. And it means seek jointly and labor with. Labor. Strive, you know, that's what it means. It means strive. We are going to have to work at it. We are going to have to try to be unified because we as people will not automatically do it. We as people are going to think differently. But we have to try and labor and seek jointly to come together in unity for a singleness of purpose. I read a story. There was a visitor. He went to a mental hospital. And he was astonished to see that there were three guards watching over hundreds of crazy, dangerous inmates. And so he walked up to one of the guards and he said, aren't you worried? There's hundreds of these inmates here. And they're dangerous. And they could come and they could overpower you and escape. And the guard answered, no, we're not worried because lunatics never unite together. And that's the truth. You know, we can't be lunatics. We have to come together because in a group, as a singleness of heart, a singleness of mind, singleness of purpose, we can conquer all things. We can do all the things that God would have us to do. But if we have to be separate, we cannot do it. We have to accomplish God's work. And we have to humble ourselves unto God's word, unto our brothers and sisters, to be able to do this. We know the scriptures. Prefer your brother. We've heard it a lot of times. But you know, that means more than just giving them the bigger piece of pie. If you both show up at the counter tonight and there's one piece of apple pie left, it means more than just letting him have that piece of apple pie. Sometimes preferring your brother means consider his feelings over your own. Let him be right and you don't have to be. Let him have his way and you will go along with it. You don't always have to be right. As people, we have that problem. I fear. I see it. I've seen it. I think you've seen it. That we have not come to a complete unity. We desire to have God reveal Himself to us as a body. We had desire for God to correct us, to tell us, to guide us, to call ministry, to do these things. But we have differences of opinions. And we have not come to a unity. We have not humbled ourselves to allow our brothers to have a difference of opinion and still get along over these things. I think about recently, as our ministry met together in fasting and prayer over a problem in the church, something that has caused a division, that is causing a division, putting a wedge into place in people. It keeps people from wanting to attend church services. It keeps us from becoming totally united. And we came together as a body of ministry and asked God, please tell us to answer the truth to this. To this question, so that we can be united. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke through one of the brothers there. And God says, I can tell you the answer to your question. But I will not, because you will not listen. If we won't listen to the Lord, we couldn't be very humble. And unfortunately, this has been a few years, and we have not changed much since that day. A person here or there may have. But as a body in the church, we still have the same division. And we still treat it the same way. And the Lord told us, you have a stubborn heart. A stubborn heart. You won't listen to me. Because we think we're right. And so we're going to stand on our rightness. And it prevents us from moving forward. Gordon read it. Ether 5:28. My grace is sufficient for the humble. It doesn't say for the humble and those who are the Church of Christ. It says for the humble. And we haven't humbled ourselves. We can't be united until we are humble. We will always have a difference. If we can correct the one problem, Satan will surely rise up another one immediately. The only way we can conquer Satan is say, Satan, you will not prevail against Christ's church. Nothing you throw at us can we cannot withstand and correct, because we are humble followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We as a people, I hear, and I don't know for a fact it's true, I hear rumors about things that are said. So let me just put it this way. If you've ever sat in your home, talking to your wife or your friends, and you said, you know, those guys are not doing it right in the Philippines. Those missionaries are making mistakes, and I have a better way of doing it. And you've never been to the Philippines, you are not humble because you don't have a clue. Humbleness is going to have to trust the missionaries in the Philippines. Be united with them. You don't know what's going on. So we, to be humble, we have to trust each other. We have to believe in each other. We have to be strong with each other. We have people in the church today that are absolutely nothing like us. We are as different as day and night. And they're never going to be like us. See, you take a look at this picture. Can you point out the American in that picture? They are different. Hopefully we'll be united in faith. And united in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are called to be. But they will never be exactly like Phoenix local or the East local or the Temple Lot local. We will probably never beat a drum here during a song in Phoenix, but they will do it every time there. And we have to accept that as being okay. They are a different people. That's in the Congo. These people are different. There's not a one of them there, I think, wearing a pair of shoes. And they go to church that way. This was the day they were confirmed and had their baptism. They are different than us. They will always be different than us. But we have to accept them. We can come to a unity of faith and purpose, but we don't always have to have everything exactly the same. We are not a cookie cutter. There is no room for us to be individual. Here's another group. Maasai's. They're different than us. You should have heard the closing song in that service. Some of you liked it, some of you wouldn't have. But it's not a hymn that you ever heard. But they are enthusiastic about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We speak of Zion. We speak of gathering to Zion. But without unity among the believers, those things cannot happen. We can't even gather to the congregations together sometimes. We resist going to places because they don't do things the way we do. We can't have that in the Church of Christ. Now, you guys are really lucky because I am absolutely sure that I lost one of my scripture references. But we have to have unity. And it does not mean that we're going to agree with everything that our brothers and sisters say. But we have to respect each other completely. We have to work together. We have to be of one accord to accomplish the will of God. We have to be like that acacia tree and protect ourselves and protect our brothers and sisters. We have to look and see what we can do to help our brothers and sisters. That's what God calls us to do. He says, let your love be without dissimulation. That means prejudice. Don't be prejudiced, especially amongst your brothers and sisters, over things of the gospel. God is willing to work with us. Are we willing to let Him? We have to be unified if we're going to. There's a book in the Bible, the book of Nehemiah. You know, I'm sure that I have never, ever used a reference of the book of Nehemiah before. Because I found a scripture, I really liked it, and I figured I'd better figure out what this book was all about before I used it. The book of Nehemiah was written 455 years before Christ. And it says it was in the month of Nisan, at the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. Did I say that right? Nobody knows. Good. Then I did. Nehemiah was stationed in Persia, and he was the king's cupbearer. In such a position, you know, to bring in the cup to the king, and the king of Persia, would make any man a happy man. You know, he was in a place of prestige, of honor, of wealth, really. He was in a powerful place, living in complete ease. But even though he was a great man, as he bore the cup for the king, he was thinking of something else. He was not thinking of himself, and it was not below him to consider his brothers and sisters who dwelt in Jerusalem, who were considered nothing to the kingdom of Persia. Just poor, beggar people. So Nehemiah came in before the king with his cup, and he was sad because he was considering his brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, the town of his forefathers. And the king saw him. He said, "What's wrong, Nehemiah? Why is your face sad? You're my cupbearer. You should be happy to be here in this, living in ease and wealth and comfort." And Nehemiah told the king, he says, "I'm sad. I'm sad thinking about my brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. The walls have been torn down. The city lays waste. They live in poverty." So Nehemiah obtained permission by the king to go to Jerusalem and build the wall so they would not be vulnerable to their enemies, to rebuild the walls around the city. So it tells in the story, if you read that, it says he went there. And he said he was on a beast of burden, and there wasn't even room for him to pass through the city walls because everything was broken down and in disarray. And he had to get off the beast, and he had to walk through and crawl through these areas. But he got there to his brothers and sisters in poverty and low esteem. And he contacted the men. And that's what I'm going to read in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. It says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, that was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And they said," and here's the point I want to make, "let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. You know, he went there and says, "I'm here," the king says, "let's rebuild the city." And they said, "Let's rise up and build." And they strengthened their hands. There was no business meeting. There was no debate about what stone to use. Well, I'd like to use black stones, but I prefer brown stones. They went to work. They rose up. It says they strengthened themselves. They made ready for the work. They prepared and they went out immediately and began to build the city walls to fortify their city once again, because God prepared a way for them to do it, and they did it. It's time for the Church of Christ to rise up, to rise up to the task at hand. Strengthen ourselves, which means we have to come together, united in heart and purpose. Let no little obstacle come between us as brothers and sisters, or our ability to worship with one another. And strengthen ourselves for the work of the gospel. Sometimes that means to make a commitment to join ourselves to the body of the Christ by baptism. If you haven't been baptized yet, to give your life over to Jesus Christ. Other of you, it means you have to prepare yourself for the work that God calls you to do, that has asked you to do. Have you resisted the responsibilities God has asked you to do? To be a Sunday school teacher, to be a pastor, to be a missionary, to be a leader, to be a missionary's wife, to be on a maintenance committee, to be on the AVVAA committee. Whatever those hard things are, whatever they are we willing to do them? Are we willing to rise up and take the challenge and face the problems with love and consideration and care for our brothers and sisters, and let nothing come between us? We all, every one of us, have the financial responsibility to support the work in this last day, so we can continue to go out and to spread the gospel to every living creature. When I go to Africa, when Frank goes to the Philippines, every one of you go that have contributed your tithing. Every one of you go. And your brothers and sisters in all those countries that we go to know it is because of you. And they love you for it. And we have to continue to do that. It is our responsibility to take this gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And so this is the day for us to rise up, to strengthen ourselves, put behind us anything that comes between us, and to be united together as one people. We'll look different. None of us will ever look like these people. But we can be one people in purpose. One people in the gospel of Jesus Christ. One family. And that's what God has called us to do. And so I pray and I hope that we can put anything that divides us away and be united. God has given us everything that we need. He loves us. He cares for us. He gives us the gifts of the Spirit. He gives us the Scriptures. He gives us the mind. But He gives us our own free will. We have to choose. Are we going to humble ourselves? Are we going to put our brothers and sisters first? And not let those things come between us. Not let them divide us. Not let them separate us from each other and from our company and from our joy and from our services. And think badly towards one another. But think in love and kindness, gentleness, meekness, humbleness, faith, temperance. Those are the fruits that come from that tree planted by a river of water. I very much thank you for your time. I'm very much thankful that Bob told me I could preach as long as I wanted to, because I preached for a while. And I'm very happy to see each one of you here at this reunion, and pray that God's blessings will go with you each. Thank you.